Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast from The Sober Club. I'm Genuinely Grace, and this is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. We'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there's inspiration from quit lit authors, experts, and sober heroes. Hi and welcome. It was just great to meet some of you last weekend at the Mindful Drinking Festival. Those of you who were there, wasn't it a great event? I mean, well done, Laura and team at Club Soda. They put on such a fantastic kind of meetup and an exhibition of great alcohol-free drinks. I've never seen so many great brands in one place. I think there was over 45 alcohol-free beers alone. And then, of course, there was lots of soft drinks, lots of grown-up juices, kombucha, some really good kombuchas, sparkling teas. There was obviously some great sparkling wines and, you know, some fizz. And then a sort of centrepiece for Liars, the Australian brand. Wow, they've got some great stuff. Was loving the espresso martini that I tried from Liars. And I just met some great people. They'd really thought out how they were going to do the event so that there were drinks, sort of tasting sessions and mocktail making stuff. And then over in a separate room, they had the talks. And that was really cool. I think Laura put together a fantastic program, Laura and her team. And it was really excellent. I was really pleased to be part of it. I did a talk on Saturday called Self-Care and Sobriety. Lovely to meet some podcast listeners there. And then on Sunday with Lauren from We Love Lucid, we did a piece on sober holidays and retreats and sort of shared our experience of what it's like both to go on a holiday, on a regular holiday, when you're no longer drinking, because that can feel so stressful at first, can't it? Really, really, really stressful when you sort of, the first time you go on a plane can feel really stressful. And then the first time you go on a holiday, particularly if you're with other people who are drinking. And then we spoke about the holidays, the kind of things that Lauren runs in Ronda in Spain. And there was Clemmy, who runs the Azure Recovery Retreats in Turkey. And then obviously I was talking about the retreats that I run in the UK at Champneys and at Inner Guidance in Suffolk. I'll mention more about that later on. And it was great. Just a great panel discussion. And of course, there were lots of other great discussions as well. I know Mandy from Love Sober was part of a panel on parenting, and Simon Chappell did something. Andy Ramage, I bumped into Andy. That was obviously Andy from One Year No Beer. And a whole bunch of sober millennials doing stuff there as well. The Boy Who Drank Too Much and Millie from Sober Girl Society. So kind of every area was covered, really, which was fantastic to see. It was a really very special thing to be part of, I think. So thanks again to Laura from Laura and her team, I must say that, because it's very much a team effort, for making the Mindful Drinking Festival happen. And if you're in another country and you're thinking, oh, I wish that was in my country, I'm sure it will come. Things will change. They really will. You know, it really is changing. I'm hearing all the time of brands that are going into other countries. I know that we're kind of leading the world at the moment in London, which does feel strange, I must say. But it will start to move out. I mean, Liars are very much a global brand, and they really are making inroads everywhere. So yeah, that was a fantastic event. And then just out, I wanted to tell you about the magazine that I contributed to, an article in a magazine for the FHT, the Federation of Holistic Therapists. And this came about because, you know, I've worked with holistic therapists for years. I often work with them to help them with their media training, to help them become better interviewees and all of that stuff. And I presented their awards. But as part of the process, I had a discussion with the editor of the magazine that they produce, Karen. And I had this discussion about the fact that when I was wanting to ditch the booze for several years before I actually made the decision, I had been going to therapists off and on. And the response that I got when I told them that I thought I might be drinking too much was, not ideal. And I kind of shared this with Karen, and I said, I really, I really would like to raise awareness amongst therapists that they've got such an important role to play here, as well as, of course, medical professionals, you know, without any shadow of a doubt. That's the next thing that needs to happen. But it just so happened that I had this opportunity to work with Karen. And so between us, we came up with some questions that we could ask therapists. And Karen, through the membership, did a survey. And some of the results were very interesting. So there's an article, if you get a chance to see it, in International Therapist magazine. They've called it A Change for the Better. It says at the top, we look at how FHT members can support clients who want to take the first step towards curbing their drinking habits. And so just a few stats to pick out. 81% of members who answered the survey said that they do ask clients about their alcohol consumption. So maybe when they do an initial consultation. So I thought that was really interesting. 18% said that they had noticed an increase in drinking habits of their clients over the last 5 years. And 36.5% said that they see clients regularly who consume more than 14 units of alcohol per week. I guess that's not surprising. There were some other interesting stats in there. I'm just trying to find the page. I think it was the bit that I found most interesting when I was talking with Karen about this was the fact that many therapists weren't sure what to say to encourage people. If someone presented as clinically dependent, then that's not difficult. They can refer them on to the GP and alcohol services. But someone who was like me, you know, grey area drinker, just kind of saying, oh, I'm a little bit worried. I said in the piece that I wrote for this article that what I would have liked was to have felt really heard. What happened on too many occasions, and I'm not blaming therapists here at all, you know, everyone's doing the best they can, they really are. But on many occasions, I was just told, oh, you seem fine, you know, just have an alcohol-free day or just drink water in between your drinks, which actually really just kind of enabled me to carry on drinking for far longer than I needed to. And what would have been really useful for me, I think, would have been to really feel heard and for therapists to, you know, say, well, you know, you so are not alone here. And you might want to just take a look at the whole sober curious world that's going on, at the whole sober world, because you really aren't on your own. And I think just by doing this piece in this mag, hopefully we've gone some way to helping that happen. And then, you know, as I say, next in line, doctors are going to need to be up on it as well. And I'm sure lots more are. So, you know, things are changing. It's all good. It's all good stuff. But it's really great to be part of this wave, this kind of this trend that's definitely happening. And there really isn't any need anymore for people to feel how I felt 2 years ago, or just over 2 years ago, which was that I was the only person that had this thing going down, and yet I wasn't at rock bottom, but I didn't know anyone else because no one else was talking about it. So the good thing is now we do. Anyways, this week's podcast is brought to you. I've teamed up with Kalino Drinks. They're a tropical blend, if you like, a tropical non-alcoholic spirit. And it's such a lovely brand story. It was just so nice to be able to interview Ellie, the founder. So I'm going to bring you a short interview with Ellie. And we've got some Kalino drinks to give away. So if you go to imperfectlynatural.com, you'll find the link there to win one of 5 bottles of Kalino. I'm sorry, but I think this competition is just in the UK. I always feel really bad about that, but it's just the shipping costs. But do enter if you are in the UK. You can also find it via thesoberclub.com, of course. And then also, another fascinating guest this week is Rebecca Weef-Smith, who is one of the founders of Goldie magazine. And I met Rebecca at a sober event, and we got chatting straight away, and we had kind of similar stories. And I thought, let's hear Rebecca's story. Let's hear about, you know, she was from that kind of very boozy world of magazines and fashion. It's a kind of a fashion magazine that she runs. So I wanted to hear her story, but it just so happened that when we connected a week or so ago, she told me about this fascinating project that she has coming up for London Fashion Week. So I thought, you know, let's talk about that. Can fashion be a force for good? What a great topic. As you are well aware, I'm sure, with the work that I do, it's not just about, oh, let's give up drinking. It's so much more about what else? What's next? How does your world open up once you've been able to ditch the drink? And I think Rebecca's interview really shows how amazing, things can be once you've got your confidence back, you've got your mojo back after ditching the booze. So enjoy the interview.
Welcome, Rebecca Weef-Smith, who is a founder or co-founder, you can explain to me, of Goldie Magazine, a lovely, colourful character on a colourful mag, and you're doing some amazing work. So it's really great to connect with you. I know you're at some kind of fashion event at the moment, so there might be a bit of extraneous noise in the background, but thank you for coming on the podcast. So just tell us a little bit about Goldie Mag first, and then we'll sort of get into a bit about your story.
Okay, yeah, thank you so much. Yes, there might be a bit of background noise because I am in the middle of filming an episode of an IGTV thing I do, wearing this. Cool. So there might be that going on. So basically, going back to the beginning of Goldie Magazine, originally the intention for the magazine was to produce a print magazine that replaced that same kind of excitement and energy that I used to feel when I bought The Face or when I bought ID. Mm. And I got to that age, I'm in my mid-50s, and print magazines no longer excited me. There was nothing that connected with me. So basically, it was like one Friday night. I had actually had quite a few glasses of wine at this point. And it was like, yeah, let's do a print magazine. And that was on the Friday. And by the Monday, we were kind of coming up with ideas and coming up with how we're going to make this work. That was nearly 2 years ago. Since then, the magazine has evolved very much, not really to be so much targeted at an over 50s demographic, which was how I originally thought it was going to be, but just talking about topics in a very open way that seem to connect across all generations. We are fashion and we are beauty and we're art and we're culture, but in terms of who likes what we're saying, it seems to be people that just are a bit different regardless of what age they are.
Yeah, sure. And yeah. Where does alcohol fit into this picture for you? Because you and I have had a conversation about being one of these women that drink too much, for a good many years. Yeah. When did this sort of tip up for you? And does that in any way link with the kind of work you're doing? Because, we do tend to think of creative jobs and the media and certainly magazines as being quite a boozy lifestyle.
Yeah, there is definitely connections. So obviously I come from a fashion background, and you go to any fashion event and you are handed a glass of champagne.
Yeah, absolutely.
There is no option. You're not handed a glass of water, there's no alternative. And I had developed a pattern of drinking wine every day. Mm. Now, I have been doing this since I was 14 years old. I also had my first Saturday job in fashion when I was 14 years old. So I'm pretty sure psychodynamically there's some links going on. I had developed a way of using alcohol to hide behind.
Yeah.
And I if you'd have asked me before when I was drinking in the pattern I was drinking, I'd have thought drinking gave me confidence. And actually what I've really learned is I'm now in my second year of sobriety, that not drinking has given me so much more confidence.
Yeah, absolutely. So true, isn't it? Amazing.
I wouldn't be out there at the moment doing TV and doing, I wouldn't have suggested doing an interview with you. All of this stuff that I'm doing, I would have gone, oh no, that's not for me. I'm not that kind of person. I'm too shy. I'm a backroom person. I'm definitely not a front of camera person. Hey ho, who knew?
That lovely phrase, alcohol steals your joy and being sober makes you brave. It's just lovely, isn't it? Yeah. I love that.
Totally.
So, we're going to talk more about a project that you've got coming up, Andy's Catwalk, which is super exciting. But before we do that, just backtracking a bit then. So you've been sober 2 years. Have you like
No, not No, I'm in my second year.
In your second year. So what was the actual sort of catalyst when you finally decided that's enough? And how did you go about this? I always ask people this because, you know, there are many ways to, you know, skin a cat, that beautiful expression. Yeah, yeah. But, you know, what was it for you that made you do it this time? And what was the process that you used?
I'm going to share a very personal story. So I was at a family Sunday lunch, and I come from a family. So my father, my siblings, I come from a very boozy family. Mm. My father was an alcoholic, and drinking a lot was part of our family culture.
Yeah.
And in a very unhealthy way. And back in around about the October of this year, so it would have been October 2018, I was at this family lunch and lots of wine was being consumed, and it got very emotional. We weren't drunks, but we were saying things that we probably wouldn't have said if we were sober. And there was a lot of pain coming up.
Yeah.
And I realized there was a part of me that was really separate from this. And I was like watching what was going on, one part aspect of myself. And I was thinking, this is really nasty. Why do we do this to each other? And the week after that, I met a girl who had written a book called The Kindness Method.
Oh, yeah. Sharu Azadi.
Exactly. And Sharia had done all this lovely work, hasn't she? She does all this lovely work for addiction.
Yeah.
And I've met her and I bought her book and I worked through her book.
Mm.
And I thought, there is stuff here I really need to deal with.
Yeah.
But I still wasn't actually intending to stop drinking. I was just thinking, yeah, I need to look at this a bit closer. I went out New Year's Eve. I started drinking at 11 a.m. with some friends and I drank the whole day. I woke up New Year's Day. I didn't have any sort of hangover, but I woke up and thought, that's it, enough.
Yeah.
I'm done. And that was it. I mean, I used the kindness method to help me through those first couple of months, but it was just that intention of waking up that morning and thinking, yeah, I'm done with this. Yeah.
That's great. So I mean, sometimes it really is just making that decision, isn't it? And how hard was it for you? Or did you find it actually relatively easy once you'd really made that decision?
Oh, I mean, I think it was a roller coaster the first 6 months. Mm. There were times when I thought, yeah, I've got this.
Yeah.
But then there was a lot of, you know, there were physical withdrawal symptoms, and as much as I craved sugar so desperately.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, that's not my way of being at all, but I could eat my way through a packet of chocolate biscuits and not think anything of it.
Yeah.
Which wouldn't be my normal pattern of eating. So there was that physical side to it. And there was so much emotional stuff coming up for me, and so lots of feelings of regret about the way I'd behaved. I'm a mother. My two daughters are grown up.
Yeah.
But I suddenly realised the amount of shame I had with them seeing me drunk.
Yeah.
And they were small children. You know, I do feel really. These are conversations I've had with my daughters, and bless them.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't feel good about that.
It's something that we should do another whole podcast on this, really. This kind of no regrets thing. Because one part of me, you know, I feel very much the same. One part of me wants to say, no, I'm not going to say that I've got any regrets. Because you hear people say this all the time. I'm sure it's a lovely way to be. But the truth of it is, I feel huge regret that I didn't do this sooner. You know, the kind of the more enlightened version of me would say, well, you have to say thank you for the learning. Thank you for the learning. And you know, embrace, move on, and what's next? And you have to do that, but it doesn't stop. And in fact, you know, so I've had sober club members say to me that, sometimes, you know, it kind of hits them like a bolt out the blue. There'll be one woman said she was driving along one day and suddenly a memory came to her of something that she'd said or done when she was drinking. And it was like a physical pain. She had to actually stop the car and pull over and have a big cry. You know, oh gosh, it's tough, isn't it? But you know, I guess at least we have stopped.
And I'm really proud of myself. I'm really proud of all of the people out there that we connect with. You know, we do, whether it's on Instagram or on social media, or whether it's having that. I'm very open, like you, about the fact that I've had issues around alcohol and I've stopped drinking, and I try to share how I've done that and what I'm doing. Not because I'm thinking I'm any better than anyone who's still drinking, but just because I know that it just sometimes helps.
Yeah, definitely.
And having those conversations. I mean, I've been at events where people have said to me, oh, why don't you drink? And I've explained. And you can see that kind of look come over in their face. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with alcohol. This was my choice. And then they start to tell you things. And then, you know, you might get a WhatsApp message from them 2 weeks later going, actually, do you know what?
Can you help me?
I'm going to give this no drinking a go. Do you mind just being there for me?
Yes.
Of course.
Totally. I mean, it's really interesting how you spread these little ripples of light, and then suddenly people really do want to, you know, want to know, you know, what it is that's going on. Great. So, anyways, let's kind of cut to more recent times when, as you say, you've developed this amazing confidence, and you're now doing things that you would have turned down before, and just, you know, wouldn't have happened for you. And I'm sure you, like me, have found an amazing amount of energy that you never knew had. You know,
I don't know about you, emailing, but, darling.
I don't know about you, but I'm getting younger. I'm sure you are too.
People have said that to me. God, what are you doing?
It's amazing.
Yeah, 10 years younger. Yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so tell me about this latest project then. So this is linked to London Fashion Week, but let's just backtrack and tell me about how you met this amazing guy, Andy. And actually, you know, there's this kind of real serious element to all of this as well. So I'd be interested to know more about this story.
Okay, it was the Monday of London Fashion Week Men's. Quite early in the morning, I was on my way to a presentation, menswear presentation in Soho. And my photographer called me and she said, I've stopped off to have a cup of coffee. And I said, okay, I'll come join you. And she was in this cafe in Manette Street, which is just kind of off Chancos Road, between Chancos Road and Soho Square. So we're standing in there, being quite, you know, first thing in the morning for us fashion people, you know, not that early, but, and this guy caught my eye and he just said to me, oh, I love what you're wearing. That coat's gorgeous. You look really great. And he also looked very, very cool, really dapper looking guy. So like I do, I'm starting chatting to him and we're like chat. And there was something about this guy that really caught my attention. So I said, I'm going to go off to do this presentation. I'll only be about 40 minutes. Are you still going to be around? So he's like, yeah. So I go back to the Manette, probably an hour later, sat there, started talking to this chap. This guy's called Andy. Started talking to Andy. And Andy is telling me his story. And Andy had been street homeless for 31 years.
Wow.
And during that time on the streets, he had obviously been through some really horrific experiences, but he also had this incredible positivity about him, and he had a very strong identity that was coming through in the way he dressed and the way he looked. And he said to me that that had been one of the things, the way he chose clothes and his connection with fashion and clothing had been something that he'd carried him through some really difficult times in those 31 years. And I just thought that was amazing. You know, when we think about all the needs that we have, and I'm really into Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you know, these needs for safety and recognition and cognition and emotions and all of this stuff. And we get to this very top of the pyramid with self-actualization. And that's not something we necessarily associate with the difficulties of living on the street.
Yeah, absolutely.
During this conversation, Andy had said to me that, you know, he's now in a very good place. He's living in a flat in Bayswater. He's actually had a photographic exhibition. He's been interviewed for The Guardian. He's been on Robert Elms. You know, he's really got his life in a different place now. And he is a very caring, kind guy, and he wants to give stuff back. And he had this vision and this dream of using a fashion show to show the importance of dress and also to highlight the issues around street homelessness in London. So I went away from this couple of hours conversing with Andy and went home and was downloading my images from LFW and doing what I do. And then a couple of days later, I thought, well, I'm going to call Andy. We'd exchange numbers. I'm going to call him and meet with him again, and we're going to make this catwalk happen. And that was the Thursday. So I met him on the Monday. On the Thursday, I'd gone into full-on planning mode, and that was not even 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
And we are now putting the catwalk show on Saturday, February the 15th at the Swiss Church in Covent Garden. It's going to be very much a London Fashion Week event with a highly curated by me, art-directed catwalk. We're going to be using all sustainable fashion. We're going to be using outfits that we've sourced from charity shops.
I love that. I love this angle.
Yeah. We've also got lovely donations coming from past collections from designers. I don't want current stuff. I want things that perhaps have been kicking around in the showroom and no one quite knows what to do with. I want the whole sustainability angle. Some of these outfits we will donate, because they'll be very practical in terms of the actual pieces, we'll donate directly to the homeless charity in London. The other ones we will be selling off, and the proceeds will go to help the homeless charities in London. So we've got a twofold way. But also Andy really, really wants to raise awareness. And you know, I'm a great believer. I really think fashion can be a force for good, and I think there are a lot of really caring people in the fashion industry. I've been very lucky to work with many of them. And I think together we can really support this, and we can show Andy, we can show this that we genuinely do pay attention.
I mean, there's a few things about this that I love. I mean, before we even get into just talking about the fashion, just going back for a moment to sort of Andy's story about being homeless. I mean, you know, it's a subject for another whole podcast, but yeah. The issues in not just London, but any city with homeless people. I mean, let's face it, you know, booze is going to play a part in that, because these people are, well, they're just numbing out, aren't they, when they get the opportunity?
I mean, I don't know about you, but I would.
I mean, what was Andy's experience of that?
Andy did, certainly he did drink to get through some of those experiences. He's very open with the times that he actually did try to kill himself, but he just genuinely didn't want and couldn't see a reason, couldn't see any hope. I mean, he's such an open character, and he will, you know, and I'm sure you will meet him and he will talk to you and tell you this stuff, because him and I have talked about the issues around alcohol use and misuse in the homeless population. And also the effects that, for so many people, that alcohol journey would be part of the process that has led them to be street homeless. Because one of the main reasons that people become street homeless is relationship breakdowns. And as you and I both know, for many people, alcohol contributes to that relationship breaking down.
Totally, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing the work that you're doing. And I love the fact that, you know, it's not just AN other fashion show, that you're actually reusing stuff. I mean, I'm such a big fan of charity shop chic. I've never been very good with designer stuff. I can't really shop that way.
but you always look so chic, darling.
Well, exactly. I mean, the whole idea of you know, I find sort of high street disposable fashion just exhausting. But you know, the whole idea of vintage and charity shop stuff and just putting together really funky looks, and that's what you're good good at. And that's why this is just, you know, a fabulous initiative. And let's hope it really, you know, raises an amazing amount of money and also raises awareness of, of all of this stuff, really. Yeah. So what are you doing? No, I was just going to say, it's great.
I really want, I just really, I know it sounds, and I don't mean this in a facile way, but I just love Andy, and I've connected with him, and I really love his whole way of giving back and being so grateful and so full of hope and so trying to show that the other street homeless guys who are still his friends, that there is a way out of their situation, that things can change.
Yeah.
And I want to show Andy that enough of us actually really care to help create that change.
Yeah, absolutely. It really is all about offering that hope, isn't it, really?
Amazing.
So tell us where, tell us what, you know, we can do. Are there tickets available to the show? Is there any way that people can get involved, even if they can't, you know, come to the show?
Yeah. So first and foremost, what I'd really like everyone to do is share this story. Is to share this story of hope and this story of fashion being good for us. Because I think, you know, fashion in itself has, it does have quite negative overtones.
Well, it gets a bad rap,
It does get a bad rap. So I'd like people to do that. I'd like people to be sharing this story. I'd like people to be using the hashtag Andy's Catwalk to actually get this story out there. So that's a simple way that we can all do something. If you are involved in the fashion industry and you are perhaps showing at London Fashion Week, or you've got a brand out there and you would like to donate a piece to us to be shown on the catwalk and then to be sold off, that would be fabulous. If perhaps you are involved with a much larger company, perhaps someone is listening who is from Marks and Spencer's,
you never know.
One of the big issues with being homeless, one of the big problems are underwear and socks.
Your
facilities are very limited when you live on the streets. You feel, you know, I can't imagine not being able to put a clean pair of knickers on every day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just to be really basic. So if any of the large brands want to connect to us and donate larger amounts of surplus stock they've got kicking around in their showrooms or kicking around in wherever, we really would appreciate socks, pants, underwear, that kind of thing.
Yeah, brilliant.
I'm trying to think how else. In terms of at the moment, in terms of ticketing, this probably sounds crazy if we're only 3 weeks away from the actual show.
Yeah.
I haven't even got to that point on the list yet.
Cool. Well, just give us the website then where people can find more information. I've got a blog post on my site on imperfectlynatural.com. And then what's the best site for people to go to find you?
The best way for people to find what we're doing on a daily database and how Andy's Catwalk is progressing is to really follow us on Instagram, because I use Instagram as my online magazine.
Cool.
I haven't had much time to put stuff up on our own blog because it's just been happening so fast.
Yeah.
So really, Instagram, I'm not great on Twitter, but I am. There are bits and pieces on Twitter about this. But if anyone wants to email me, my email address is rebecca@goldenmediagroup.co.uk. If anyone's got any kind of offers they want to put forward to us, find me there. DM me on Instagram. Yeah, or contact me through you. I'm sure, you know.
Excellent. I mean, I'm sure I can see that this has legs for the future, you know.
Oh, I hope so.
Because if you think about it, you know, it could go on and on, couldn't it? The whole idea of using sustainable fashion and last season's pieces and raising money for the homeless is just, I mean, it's just a fantastic, as you say, using fashion as a force for good. It's perfect.
I mean,
I'm very glad you found your mojo, Rebecca.
Thank goodness I discovered sobriety.
Yes, exactly.
That shy little girl just isn't there anymore. And amazing.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, fantastic.
Okay, love it. Well, I'm sure we'll speak again. There are lots of topics that we can pick up on, but I just wanted to start with this one. So great to connect, and I hope it's a huge success. I'm sure it will be.
Thank you
so much.
Okay. Lovely to chat.
Thank you.
Bye.
It's going to be a great show. So if you can help in any way, make sure you check that out. The hashtag is Andy's Catwalk. And as promised, I had an interview with Ellie, founder of Kalino Drinks. And just a reminder that we've got some to give away as well.
My guest is Ellie Webb from Kalino Drinks. And I bet I said that wrong. Tell us exactly how you pronounce this, the name of this beautiful drink.
So I normally break it down and it's just
okay.
Yeah, it's the tilde on the end, which is South American, which gives it a different pronunciation.
Ah, okay. Well, it's such beautiful packaging. We're going to have to talk about that, definitely. But first of all, let's just talk about the inspiration behind it then and how it came about. Tell us a bit about your story.
Yeah, sure. So I guess my story into the world of alcohol-free drinks began 3 years ago. So I actually used to work in the drinks industry. Well, I still do. I used to work in the drinks industry, and being in that industry can sometimes mean that you're exposed to alcohol quite a lot of the time. So beginning of 2017, I decided to try a little thing called Dry January, which obviously has grown in popularity as the years go on. And so I decided to take some time off, some time away, you know, getting closer to 30, thinking I can't keep up with this my life. So I was finding I was going out with friends. So I live in Bristol, and you know, I still like to go out, you know, regardless of drinking, not drinking. I like to go to music nights, see live bands, and I was at one along Gloucester Road in Bristol with my friends, and this happened a few times, but I remember this one in particular because it was quite an enjoyable evening, apart from when I went to order my drink at the bar. And you know, everyone was drinking gin and tonics and craft beers and lots of exciting stuff, and I think I got stuck with a Diet Coke. And then I drank a few of those and I didn't really want to have that anymore, so I just drank water.
Yeah, it doesn't feel very grown up, does it?
No, it doesn't. And I didn't really feel like I had much choice, to be honest. It didn't feel exciting. It was a fun evening, but I felt very much like the odd one out. And yeah. I kind of kept coming back to that moment over, you know, the next kind of weeks and months, and thinking, why is it that, you know, if you take some time off drinking, or, you know, whether it's that week, that month, that day, even a year, why are you stuck with really quite rubbish options? When actually in the drinks industry, as far as I could tell, there was lots of innovation, there was lots of exciting brands. So I think I just got sort of a little bit obsessed with this whole category and started looking into it and seeing what else was out there, and really was quite keen to make something of my own. Couple of months later, I then travelled over to Colombia, which is a place that's really close to my heart, really special. I spent a lot of time there growing up. My mum's Colombian, so that side of the family, you know, would spend, particularly around Christmas time, we'll have like a kind of annual Christmas Colombian party, which is always lots of music, lots of dancing. So whenever I would go over there, really fond memories. And going back as an adult, you know, a little bit more grown up, I was actually really interested in the tropical fruits and the places. So I visited around 4 or 5 places across the country. I flew into Bogota and went down to Cali, which is known as the capital of salsa, and actually is where the name Caleño comes from.
Oh, lovely. Well, that's a lovely story.
Yeah, if you're from Cali, then you're known as a Caleño.
Oh, amazing.
The Caleños are known for their dancing, their salsa, their energy. And I wanted to create something that had colour, energy, would make people feel excited about not drinking, as opposed to disappointed. So I travelled around the country. I went all the way up to the coast and through the coffee region as well. And there was lots of it's the second most biodiverse country in the world. So they've got lots of exciting tropical fruits. And I wanted to bring some of those back and incorporate that into the drink, which I did. Our star ingredient is the Inca berry.
Is it? Okay, interesting.
Fruit. Yeah, that's our main ingredient. But we also use pineapple, papaya. We distill juniper berries, cardamom, coriander.
Wow.
So it's really a balance of citrus, spice, and tropical notes within.
That's lovely. Interestingly, I don't know whether you heard it, but I did a podcast just before Christmas where I was reviewing some drinks, and yours was one of them. And I was with a bunch of friends who drink alcohol, but you know, we thought, well, let's let them have a try. And one of them said, oh, this tastes kind of, it's got kind of a tropical vibe, and it almost smells of banana. That was what he placed.
Different people smell different things, and I've noticed, obviously, doing lots of tastings and samplings, some people can really pick up on certain flavors. So we've got 12 botanicals in the drink, and some people can really pick on some notes where others can't. So it's all smell and taste. Wow. So yeah, it was quite good fun. And obviously the trip back there, I think, reignited that love for South American culture, the energy they've got, and the ingredients. I wanted to kind of blend the two and help me create Caleña. So
yeah, amazing. So what's the feeling about, you know, am I right in thinking that it's classed as 0.5%, which is in the UK is classed as alcohol free? Just explain that for us, because people still get very confused.
It is confusing. It is a little bit confusing. So our drink is below 0.5%. So anything above 0.5 can't be classed as non-alcoholic. If it has absolutely zero, it's never touched any alcohol at any point within the process, you can call it alcohol free. Because small amounts of alcohol can be used in a maceration process, we do have traces, so below 0.5. The trouble is, at 0.5 or up to 0.5, things like ice cream, bread, orange juice,
bananas,
fruit, all contain very similar amounts. So there's a little bit of confusion around, you know, absolutely alcohol free and non-alcoholic. I think they are. I know organizations like Club Soda are pushing for non-alcoholic drinks actually
absolutely
alcohol free. Because obviously the labeling requirements are different for different categories. Even in beer is even more confusing,
so is it?
So but you know, it's fine. I think as long as, you know, when a consumer asks us about that, I explain it in a really similar way, and they understand generally that's quite reminiscent of the categories, that it's a fairly new category, and so people,
of course,
a lot of education needed there, and of course awareness about the category, which is, you know, gradually getting.
Exactly. And so the idea with Caleña then is that we can have it on its own, as it were, as a spirit, alcohol free spirit. Well, certainly one of my friends did, he really loved it with a little bit of cucumber or something in it, or obviously you can add a really nice tonic with it, I guess, or you can add it to a mocktail, I suppose.
We've just, our standard serve and our sort of classic serve is a Caleña tonic. That's the one we recommend mostly to people.
And would that be a flavoured tonic that you'd recommend, or a standalone,
just
as it were?
Just a standalone. So we often use, we mix with all the major tonic brands and the home as well, but we generally recommend just an ordinary Indian tonic.
Yeah.
Because then you really capture the flavours. You know, there's 12 different botanicals in there. So if you really want to capture the flavours, then I just recommend just drinking it with a normal tonic. We have just released 6 new cocktails.
Oh, wow.
So we've got some 6 tropical cocktails. One of them uses espresso and tonic. So that's quite interesting.
What do you mean when you say you released, you mean pre-mixed? These are pre-mixed tonic?
No, I've got some here, actually. Yes, I do.
So just talk me through exactly what these are. Recipes.
So these are recipes.
I see. Lovely.
We are recommending that bars can make themselves.
Okay.
Consumers. So actually, what we're trying to do is encourage bartenders to become more experimental with alcohol-free spirits like Caleño. And you know, have a go at mixing different flavors together. So the Caleña Collins. So if you're not a fan of tonic, the Caleña Collins can be made with Caleño, little bit of honey and lemon juice topped with soda water, and it's really nice, really simple.
Well, that's an interesting idea. What, and served over ice?
Yeah, exactly. Served over ice with a lemon wedge.
Nice.
Then you've got the Tropicale, which is a concoction of Caleño, pineapple juice, and fresh lemon juice and sugar syrup. And then you just garnish that with a mint leaf. And then the Café de Colombia cocktail is made with Calaño espresso and sugar syrup and a dash of tonic water.
Nice.
So they've all got sort of, you know, three or four ingredients to them. They're fairly simple to make, but it just, you know, it just brings the Calaño flavour out a little bit more in a cocktail, because people do like enjoy a cocktail in the evening with wine. So.
Lovely. So what's the future for the brand? Because, you know, you're doing really well to be, you know, for what is essentially an artisan brand, you know, just to be in the supermarkets and to be out there is absolutely amazing. So what do you see for the future? If I interview you in a year's time, what would you like to have seen happen?
So I guess my dream or my goal, I guess, from the very beginning, it was born out of this frustration that I just couldn't go into a bar or pub and guarantee a decent non-alcoholic drink of some kind, whether it's, my in terms of what I like in alcohol, it would be gin and tonic. So I was craving that, but in an alcohol-free version. So I think my dream is that in a year's time, we see Calaño much more, it's kind of much more readily available in the trade. Supermarkets have really crafted non-alcoholic ranges. I definitely want us to be a global brand, so not just in the UK, but available in other countries too. And I think you're generally seeing the trend heading that way. So I think, you know, just really in a year's time have really progressed within the industry.
Excellent. Well, I love it. The packaging, as I say, is absolutely gorgeous. I mean, what a lovely gift to be able to take to you know, I've visited friends and taken a bottle of this, and you feel really proud handing that over as a gift. So, you know, well done you on getting that right, because again, you know, this is an area where people want their decent drinks to look good as well, you know. So you've done a fantastic job there. I love the design.
Thank you. Well, exactly. I think a lot of people do take it over to friends' houses or have a bottle on the shelf at home. So when people come over, if they're driving, or, you know, a lot of people now, if you speak to them and you ask them and you talk about these kinds of products, they'll say, actually, I don't drink, or I don't drink very much. Mm. It's not something they shout about. Mm. But actually, when you get talking to someone, they really appreciate an alcohol-free drink.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course the top tip is always for anyone who's you know, ditching the booze is always, you know, take your own to a gathering or wherever you're going, but take extra, because the drinkers will always end up nicking yours. Great. Ellie, thank you so much. The website is calaño.drinks.com. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
So if you go to thesoberclub.com or imperfectlynatural.com, or just look at the show notes and you'll find the links there, you can have a go at winning one of five bottles of the Calaño non-alcoholic tropical spirit, or free spirit, as Ellie says. Don't forget too that there is a Let's Talk Detox and Get the Buzz Without the Booze demo, talk, workshop, whatever you like, on Tuesday, 4th of February. Now, obviously, not many people are going to be able to get to this. It's very, very limited tickets. And it's in King's Langley in Hertfordshire. So it's about 20 minutes from Euston on the train, or there's parking. It's just a funky little coffee shop, and I've teamed up with last week's guest, Michelle Kay, who's a nutritionist and author, and we thought, how great just to do an actual demo, just to talk about detox, just to show you how juicing actually works. It makes such a difference when you just see someone stick the chunk of broccoli stalk into the juicer and with whatever else, and then blend it, and just to know what works well for what, you know, why is beetroot so good for blood boosting? Why are certain juices so good for helping with, you know, detoxification and all of that? So I really hope some of you can come. The link is at thesoberclub.com, or you might see it on Facebook. It's called Let's Talk Detox and Get the Buzz Without the Booze. Very limited tickets. The ticket price does include a juice and a smoothie, and the fruit and veg that we're using is all organic and seasonal, courtesy of Riverford Organics. They do a box delivery scheme, and David and Emma, who are the guys who deliver in this area of Hertfordshire,
are kindly supplying the organic fruit and veg. So you're really going to get the top-notch ingredients, and that makes a massive difference as well. So really hope some of you can join us at that event. Some of you might be interested to know that the next Inner Guidance Retreat, the Sobriety Rocks Retreat, is 8th to the 10th of May. Well, actually, the next one is next weekend. I'm really looking forward to it, but it's sold out. So the one after that is 8th to the 10th of May at Inner Guidance in Suffolk. It's going to be suitable for whatever stage you're at. So if you're just ditching the booze, that's absolutely fine. If you're still thinking about it and you're sober curious, that's fine too. If you've been sober 4 years, as someone who came on our Champneys retreat was, then you are very welcome. It's really about self-care and just how you can be your best self without the booze. At the Inner Guidance Retreat, there will also be yoga, meditation, a cacao ceremony, yoga nidra, a gong bath, beautiful walks, there's a labyrinth, amazing gourmet vegan food. So do check out that. If you just go to thesoberclub.com, it's there under events. So I really hope to meet some of you on that. Very exciting news that Catherine Gray was our guest on BBC Radio 2. It was so lovely to see Catherine talking about the unexpected joy of the ordinary. And she'll be my guest on the podcast next week, I think. So that's really exciting. I've also interviewed Lee Davey from the Strive community. So looking forward to bringing you that interview as well. I was Annie Grace's guest last week, if you missed that. If you grab a chance to listen to Annie's podcast, This Naked Mind. And I'm sure there's masses more I can tell you, but, you know, I'll save it for next week. Make sure you check out thesoberclub.com. We've got a little PDF on there at the moment, actually, called Toxin-Free Beauty. So, you know, you might think that's not connected with being sober, but oh, yes, it is. Because once you ditch the booze, you suddenly start thinking, hold on, what am I eating and what am I putting on my skin? Because it's really important. And the last thing you need is a load of dodgy skincare full of chemicals that also contains alcohol, which is very dehydrating for your skin. So there's a few suggestions there for DIY recipes. This is all based on the books that I've written in the past, of course. So you can grab that free PDF if you go to thesoberclub.com and you can, or in fact, it's in the show notes as well. You can sign up and get that. I will see you same time next week. Have yourself a great week. Oh, and a quick self-care tip. Do that gratitude list. It's something that Catherine Gray talks about. And I bang on about it all the time. And she says in her book, actually, it's quite funny. She says, oh, you know, yawn. It's so sick-making, even saying. But who cares? It really works. And particularly if you're feeling fed up. If you've just, you know, you're almost at the end of dry January and you're feeling, quite frankly, grumpy. It's just the top tip. Just make yourself write at least 5 things that you are grateful for. And it changes everything. It just does. So that's the self-care tip. I'll see you next week. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast. I'm Jenny Lee Grace. Please go to thesoberclub.com. Listen to more podcasts, read our blogs, enter our competitions, grab yourself a free PDF, Self-Care in Sobriety, and check out our online community,